Would go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We'll be looking this morning at chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Last time together, we wrapped up our look at what mutual submission to one another in the fear of God looks like within the marriage relationship. And with the help of two excellent definitions from John Henderson, we saw that within the context of the marriage relationship, a wife's respectful submission to her husband is her joyful honoring of her husband's will and position, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that has as its aim the eternal fruitfulness of her husband for the glory of her God. And we saw that a husband's loving submission to his wife is his joyful sacrifice, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that has as its aim the eternal good of his bride for the glory of his God. So as we transition now out of the marriage context in the household code, which runs again from 5:22 through 6:9, as we transition to a new section, I want us to remember that general overarching exhortation that governs this entire section is that call to be filled with the Holy Spirit by submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so we've just seen again what that looks like within the marriage relationship within the household. And now we're transitioning into the section where we're going to see what this call to mutual submission looks like in the household, in the relationship of parent to child. And specifically this morning, we'll see what this call to submission looks like, specifically for children. So children, eyes this morning. Parents, if you could get your children to look this morning instead of doing anything else, eyes this morning. The sermon is directly to you. And I know Pastor Joe sometimes sounds like he's never going to stop talking, but I've done my best this morning to make this sermon short in order to help keep your attention this morning. So I'm going to be looking at you in your eyes. This sermon is directly to you this morning. God is speaking to you. Okay? So I want you to have your Bibles open or snuggle up to your mom and your dad. Keep your eyes on their Bibles as we work through this passage together and see what God has to say to you this morning. And you can look at your sermon sheets to help you follow along with kind of the main thoughts of this morning and to take them home and help you reflect on the things that God has to say to you this morning. So with those thoughts in mind, hear now first God's holy and infallible word from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Sends the reading of God's holy word this morning. And so we see God starts out. It's the first word. He says, children. He says, children. So I just want you to know that the very fact that God addresses you specifically in this letter that's written to the whole church, the fact that he addresses you in particularly means it's a reminder to you that you are supposed to be here. That you, in fact, are members of the church. It's a reminder to you that God loves and cares for you just as much as He does your parents, just as much as He does your pastor and your elders, just as much as He does your deacons. He loves and cares for you just as much as He does anyone else in the church. And so He addresses you specifically. He wants you to believe in Jesus Christ and to, in faith, become more and more like Jesus Christ, to become more and more holy in heart and conduct, just as much as He does anyone else. And so He addresses you particularly. Children, children, obey your parents. That's the specific way. The specific way this morning that God wants you to, in faith, conform your lives more and more to Jesus is by imitating Him and by obeying your parents. And the word here for obey, to obey your parents, it's rather simple. It means to listen to them and to do as they tell you to do. That's what obedience means in this context. To listen to your parents and to do as they tell you to do. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, we read, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." A very old pastor named Thomas Watson points out that the passage there in Proverbs teaches you that your parents are to you God's primary representatives to you. So just as we saw with husbands and wives, so your mom and your dad, just as your dad in God's order of things is the head of your mother, and so is in that sense to your mother, God's Christ's primary representative to her, that one in her life that most closely resembles the Lord Jesus Christ, so your parents are to you God's primary representatives to you. So what you need to understand is what that means is that to obey your father and your mother is to obey God. And to disobey, then, to disobey your father and mother is to disobey God. You need to understand that your relationship with your father and your mother is a reflection of your relationship to your Father in heaven. And so if you disobey much, if you have a hard heart towards your mother and your father on earth, it's an indicator of a hard heart toward your Father in heaven. There's a reflection in the relationship that you need to understand. So He calls you. God calls you this morning particularly to obey your parents. And He says to do so in the Lord. To do so in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it means that God has made His covenant of grace with you. Again, with you. In your baptism, you were baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. He made His covenant with you in your baptism. By virtue of being born to believing parents, He has set you apart as holy, and He has brought you into covenant with Him. And so one of the primary ways then God calls you to respond to His covenant grace as a child of the covenant is to obey your parents out of love for God and to the glory of God. To obey your parents in the strength of the Lord. And as we've seen throughout here in Ephesians, these calls, these gospel calls are calls to be who you already are in the Lord. Remember, Jesus is the perfect Son. Obey His Father perfectly. And so what happens when you believe in Jesus Christ and you're united to Jesus Christ, that means the Father sees you as a perfectly obedient child. In Jesus Christ, you are an obedient child.
And so therefore, be an obedient child. Obey your parents in the Lord, in His strength.
Respond properly to His covenant of grace by being who you already are in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to obey your parents in the Lord. God says that you're to do this, that you are to obey your parents in the Lord for or because this is right. He says this is right. This is the right thing to do. This is the right response to God's grace in your life is to obey your father and your mother. Obedience to your father and your mother is the will of God for you, and therefore it's right to do. And the word here, we could also say it's righteous. It is righteous to do. Which means what? That it's Christ-like. That it is Christ-like to obey your mother and your father. Jesus is righteous. So to say that it is righteous to do is to say that it is Christ-like to do, as we saw in our passage. The Lord Jesus obeyed His father and mother perfectly. Again, Luke 2:51. He went down with them. You remember, they went looking for them. The words that we didn't read but likely would have been said is, "Son, it's time to go home." And He obeyed them. He went down with them to Nazareth. He went home with them upon their request and was subject to them. You see, so your God and Savior, example, Jesus Christ, obeyed His parents in the Lord. Obeyed His parents in the Lord. So what does this call mean for you? How can you implement, how can you apply this call to obey your parents in the Lord? What does this look like for you in your home, in your day-to-day life? Well, another pastor, his name's Ted Tripp, a biblical counselor, helpfully put it this way. To obey your parents in the Lord means that you are to do as your parents tell you to do without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. To obey your parents means that you ought to obey them without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. We know from God's word that no one can ever call you to sin. Okay, and so if you ever think that your parents are telling you to sin, respectfully, politely ask them to explain what they're telling you to do. There could be misunderstanding on your part, or perhaps they need to rethink what they're telling you to do, but you can ask them respectfully if it sounds sinful to you. But assuming that it is not sin, assuming that mom and dad are not telling you to sin, then you are to do whatever they tell you to do in the Lord without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. So, mom and dad tell you to clean your room. Mom and dad tell you to put your plate in the sink after dinner. Or mom and dad tell you to do your schoolwork. You're not to challenge that command. You can work through with your parents what a respectful appeal might look like. There's nothing wrong with a respectful appeal worked out with your parents, but a challenge is not a respectful appeal. It's a disrespectful challenge, okay? You are not to challenge what they tell you to do. You're not. If they tell you to do something lawful, you do not tell them no. You do not challenge their authority. You do not tell them that that's unfair. Or that you never tell brother or sister to do that. You see, to say such things back to them when they issue a command is to challenge their authority, which is ultimately to challenge God's authority over you, you see. You're not to challenge them. It also means that you are not to make excuses for why you can't Obey them. You're not to make excuses. If they tell you to clean something up, you're not to whine about how that mess is too big. You're not to make excuses. You're not to tell them that you didn't make that mess. That's to make an excuse, you see. You're not to tell them that you're too tired. You're not to tell them that the schoolwork is too hard or that it's too boring. Your response is to obey. To obey without excuse. And you're also to obey without delay. To obey without delay. Which means that if they tell you to do something, you don't tell them, wait a minute. It could be if you're doing something and you can't come at the minute, you may need to tell them that. But assuming you can come, you don't tell them to wait. You do not finish whatever you are doing before you obey what they tell you to do. You are to obey without delay. You're to obey without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. Part of what it means to obey your parents in the Lord. Also, though, this is not just about what we do with our hands, but with our head and our heart. So your obedience to your parents without challenge, excuse, or delay is to also be from a right heart and to a right end. What does that mean, from a right heart? Means that you are to obey your parents without challenge, excuse, or delay, ultimately out of love for God. Love for God is to be the ultimate mover to your Christ-like obedience. And thus, if your heart is filled with anger of any kind, either to God or to your mom or your dad, you're not obeying God out of a right heart, and thus ultimately it's not pleasing to Him. It is not pleasing to Him. At that point, the work in and of itself is no different than an unbeliever's work that is not done from a right heart. But obedience to your parents, done out of love for God, that's pleasing. That's pleasing to your Father in heaven. That's to do it from a right heart. You're also to do it from or to a right end. To a right end. What does that mean? It means you're to obey your parents to the glory of God. To obey your parents, to praise God, out of thankfulness to God, that He may be praised and thanked by others, that He may be magnified by others out of your obedience. So the end of your obedience, the reason for which you obey, is not to be because you want to get something from your mother or father. Or that you want them to let you do something. You see, let's say your mother or father tells you, if you're a good listener today at the store and at the park, we'll go get ice cream afterwards, or I'll let you go over to your friends tomorrow night. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. God offers rewards for His people. But the problem is if that is the primary reason for which you're obeying them. See, your obedience is earthly and horizontal at that point in time. It's not vertical. You're not obeying for a right end. Those things can be healthy motivators. We're going to see God attaches a promise to this call in just a minute. But ultimately, you're to obey for a right end, which can be none other than the glory of God, that He would be magnified and praised. Not that you would look good in front of your friends or in front of the church or in front of your brothers or sisters, or not even that you would look good in your parents' eyes, but that you would look good in your Father's eyes, that you would be pleasing in His sight. So you are to submit to your parents by doing what they tell you to do without challenge, excuse, or delay, out of love for God and to the glory of God. Children, look with me at verse 2. Or listen up for verse 2. honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We'll look at that first half first. So you'll notice what Paul's quoting there in verse 2. Children, if you know the Ten Commandments, you know that Paul is quoting the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And to honor your father and mother means to respect them. It means to think highly of them. It means to see them for what they are, to see them as the important people, the most important earthly people in your life, because that's who God has made them to be. It is to be thankful for your parents, and ultimately it is to love them. We know that love of neighbor summarizes the second table of the law. Honor your father and mother means to love father and mother. Okay? We see that again, you're not to obey your parents just with your hands. This call to honor drives the commandment to the heart. To obey them out of a heart that desires to respect and honor them as well. So ultimately what we can say is you are to obey your parents in the Lord out of love for God and out of love for mother and father. The two primary heart motivations, love for God, love for mother and father, are to motivate and move your godly obedience. But then children, also notice what the command says. It says, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. It seems to be often the case that it's easier for children to honor their fathers than it is their mothers. I want you to ask if this is the case for you. Ask if this is the case for you. Children, do you honor your mother as much as your father? Do you honor your mother as much as your father? Do you listen to your mom as well as you listen to your dad? Are you as quick to respond to commands and requests from your mother as you are to your father? Or does mom usually have a much harder time getting you to obey than dad does? If this is the case, beloved, then you are not honoring father and mother. You're not walking pleasing in the Lord's sight. And so you need to repent of that. You need to confess that sin to God and to apprehend anew His mercy in Jesus Christ to forgive you and strengthen you against that sin. You need to endeavor after new obedience to honoring father and mother. It's interesting, in Leviticus 19:3, God essentially reverses the call. He calls you there to revere mother and father, implying father and mother are of equal authority over you. Father and mother are of equal authority. They're due equal honor. Honor your mom and your dad equally. Equally. How can you do this? How can you do this in your own home, you ask? Well, first, as we've already said, you honor mother and father by obeying both of them. When dad calls you to do something, you do it without challenge, excuse, or delay, out of love for God and to the glory of God. And when mom asks you to do something, you do it without challenge, excuse, or delay, out of love for God and to the glory of God. Equal authority, equal obedience. You need to equally respect mom and dad. You need to actually believe and understand and believe what I just said to you, what God says to you. That mother and father are equal authorities over you, and they are due equal honor. So that truth needs to be to you not like a beach ball that just floats on the pool of your mind without sinking down into your heart and influencing your life. You need to pray. Pray that God would make that truth to you as a rock, that it would sink down
from your mind into your heart and move your hands and your heart
to respect and honor mother and father, you see. You should honor and respect them by the way you speak to them. By the way you speak to them. Don't talk back to mom and dad. Don't roll your eyes at mom and dad. Don't yell at mom and dad. Don't speak to them in a mean or disrespectful tone. Speak kindly. Speak affectionately. Speak respectfully to mother and to father. These things are pleasing to the Lord. And then lastly, encourage. Encourage and thank your mother and your father often for all that they do for you. So I'd ask you to ask yourself, children, when was the last time? When was the last time you thanked your mom and or your dad for all that they do for you? When is the last time? Do you thank them often? Or do you more often complain to them about all the things they you don't think they are doing for you? Are you a thinker or a complainer? Which of the two would you say describes you? Beloved children, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, Paul says, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, what in the world does Paul mean by that? Well, first, it's possible that Paul means that the fifth commandment is the first and only commandment with a particular promise. There's only one other commandment with a promise. It's the second commandment, and it's a very general promise for mercy unto thousands who obey and keep God's law. So it's a very general promise for general obedience to God's law. So it's possible it means first and only with a particular promise. But it's also possible, because the word first can mean here, that the fifth commandment is simply a foremost. It's a high ranking. It's a very important commandment in God's eyes, and he attaches a promise to it. And both ideas fit the context well enough here to say that most simply, children, God is saying to you here that the fifth commandment is very, very important in his eyes, and he has attached a particular promise to it to make it even more, or to make you even more willing and excited to obey it. So yes, you're to do so out of love for God and out of the glory of God, but to make you even more excited and willing to obey this commandment, God attaches this promise to it because it's very important in his eyes. You see, and the promise is that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. How are we to understand that promise? Well, we need to understand the reality that there's many children who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who do not obey their parents, and yet they live seemingly well and long lives on this earth. And then we need to understand the reality that there are many children who do by grace believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who do by grace walk in sincere obedience to their mother and their father, and yet who have very short lives on this earth. So those realities, I think, compel us to understand this promise in two ways. First, we're to understand this promise as a general promise related to God's ordinary and usual dealings with his people. We know in the Proverbs teach that faithful parenting ordinarily and usually in God's providence leads to children who do not totally nor finally fall away from the faith. It's not an ironclad guarantee. It doesn't happen all the time. But ordinarily in God's providence, faithful parenting leads to children who do not totally nor finally fall away. And thus it's likewise
Obedient children, ordinarily, things will be well with them, spiritually and relationally, and they will live relatively long lives on this earth. It's similar to the way you think about it. Okay, think about it. Eating healthy, exercising, getting good rest, these things ordinarily and generally in God's providence lead to things being physically well with you and you living a long life on this earth. But it's not a guarantee. You could get in a car wreck tomorrow and die. But see, the thing is, you're following a path that ordinarily leads in God's providential workings to a well and long life. And it's likewise with parents who heed the counsel of wise father and mothers. You will be following a path on wisdom's way that ordinarily leads to things being spiritually well and relationally well with you and living a relatively long life on this earth. But second, these realities compel us to understand this truth and this promise not only generally, but heavenly. Not only generally, but heavenly. Most ultimately, this is a promise of salvation and everlasting life. And this promise is not attached to this commandment in such a way that we should understand this. If I obey God and I do good, He will give me my wage of salvation and everlasting life. This is not teaching salvation by works. Rather, God is pleased to attach promises to these commandments because He knows that true obedience to them, it implies saving faith. The only way you can actually obey your parents as God calls you to obey, out of a right heart and to a right end, love for God and to the glory of God, the only way you can do that is if you have faith. What's God say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God attaches these promises. He puts these promises, hooks them to the fruit sometime, because they imply the root. Because they imply the existence of the root. I'll give you a brief illustration, I don't know if it'll be helpful or not, of how sometimes a promise could be attached to something because it implies something else. Let's say you're a child, you have a problem getting out of bed before 9 a.m. And mom and dad wants you to get out of bed before 9 a.m. And so they make a promise. And they attach the promise and they say, I'll make you your favorite breakfast every morning that you make your bed, get dressed, and brush your teeth before 9 a.m. You see, the promise is to this thing, but what does it imply? What's the more foundational thing that it implies? That you actually got out of bed before 9 a.m., you see. The fruit is the brushing of your teeth and the making of your bed. But the reality is that you got out of bed. And thus, in a similar manner here, the obedience to your parents in the Lord is merely the fruit of the saving root, which is being made alive in Jesus and believing in Jesus. So that's where the promise is essentially aimed. That's essentially what God is ultimately rewarding you with. And so, beloved children, if you truly believe in Jesus, you will, not perfectly, not without sin, but you will truly and sincerely obey your parents out of love for God, out of love for them, to the glory of God. And if you do so, God promises to forgive your sins, to give you peace with Him and everlasting life, because such can only occur if He grants you the gift of faith. And so, children, this passage today, we're summing up this passage today. God calls you to listen to and to do what your mom and dad tell you to do, without challenge, excuse, or delay, out of love for God, out of love and honor for them, and to the glory of God. And if you do, He has promised to graciously bless your faith and your faithfulness with spiritual and relational peace, with likely long life on this earth,
and with certain everlasting life on the new earth to come. So, children, I ask you this morning,
have you believed in Jesus
savingly? And if you know in your heart of hearts
that you have not actually believed in Jesus Christ, okay, you know you're here, you know you come to church with your parents, and you know you hear about Jesus, you gather around faithfully with the rest of your family for family worship, but you know that you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. Or even if you're unsure, you say, Pastor Joe, I actually don't know if I have or not. Then just know this this morning, and listen up this morning, that your Father in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, offers to you, child, freely this morning, the gospel of free grace. He offers to forgive your sins. He offers to reconcile you to your Father in heaven. He offers to grant you everlasting life if you would but bring your sins to the cross of Calvary and to cast them at the feet of Jesus. To ask. It's that simple. You go to the cross of Christ. Cast your sins, and God covers you in righteousness. So if you have not this morning, children, if you don't know if you have, then make today the day that you turn from your sins and that you trust and you embrace and you receive and you rest on Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. And know that if you do, or if you already have, never forget that He's given you the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, your Lord Jesus has given you the Holy Spirit. Thus you are not powerless. You are not powerless to walk pleasingly in His sight. You can. You actually, truly, by His strength, not your own, but you truly can obey your parents. You really can. Out of love for God and glory, and to the glory of God. Because He's given you the Spirit. All you must do, again, is ask for His help. Pray that God the Holy Spirit would help you to obey your parents as He has called you to do. And then when you fail to do so, confess your sins to your Father in heaven, knowing that He's faithful and just to forgive them. Confess your sins to your parents, trusting that they will forgive your sins. And to all here this morning, I just ask all of us to ask the question, who in here of any, who's obeyed their parents perfectly? When you were young, who's done so? None. None of us have ever obeyed our parents perfectly. And what that means is that we all deserve the wrath and the curse of God. Everyone in here. Because you failed as a child to obey your parents perfectly means that you deserve the wrath and curse of God in hell forever. Do we understand that that's what that means? If we've broken one, just one cross word to our earthly mother or father in God's eyes, because He's an infinitely holy God, deserves an infinite punishment. And thus everyone in here needs the perfect Son, needs the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect Son who obeyed His Father perfectly. And so trust in Jesus Christ today. Embrace Him. Close with Jesus Christ today. Turn from your sins and flee for refuge in the Son. Flee for refuge in the Son. Trust in Jesus Christ. That it may be well with you, and that you may live everlastingly on the new earth with your God forever. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you again for giving us the Son.
where we would be without him. We know, actually. We know. That terrible place. That terrible place called hell. And yet, Lord, you've plucked us from the fire, children not deserving of it. But out of your love and grace, you've plucked us from the fire of that pit, that everlasting pit, and raised us up and seated us in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even now, you've set us in heaven with him. Lord, we pray that you would use this word in our children's hearts this morning to stir them up to godly, Christ-like obedience, that they would hunger and thirst to glorify you, that they would increase in love for you and for mother and father, that they would respond appropriately to this word, crying out for your grace and strength to do so. Lord, and if there are any children, any adult, anybody, Lord, in our midst that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we cry out again that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would be able to lay their head on their pillow this night knowing that things are well with them, that they're at peace with their Maker, that they will live on the new earth and that forever. Hear our prayers. We ask them in Christ's name. Amen.